Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
High noon, Jones and Keith, WEEI. It's a Patriots Monday on a Tuesday. The tiers are up at Jones and Keith. Patriots are in the Dynasty Back On tier.
Oh, they certainly are.
We're kind of measuring up Super Bowl matchups. You want to seek those out again. At Jones and Keefe. It is also a Tom E. Tuesday. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He's brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. And by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping and get rewarded. Tom E. Curran, you said you wouldn't be surprised if it went down this past week against the Giants. I think the Patriots played a pretty complete game, wire-to-wire game, looked like the best team in football. So what jumped out to you last night?
The fact that they could make it so convincingly, resoundingly, emphatically, yeah, it's not even going to be close. Because the reason I said I wouldn't be surprised is just looking across the landscape of the NFL. You got the Broncos and Commanders, 27-26. You have the Rams losing. You have every single friggin' team you can find, except the Patriots, in their first year under Vrabel with a second-year quarterback who's still – one would think, getting better, they have yet to lay an egg. Cincinnati was their egg. So that's why I said I wouldn't be surprised. You had two offensive line injuries. You had Milton Williams still out. Kyrus Tonga didn't play. So the Giants have been a pain in the ass to everybody. So that was the genesis of the I wouldn't be surprised. Because inevitably, every single friggin' team is going to come out flat. And with the Patriots looking at their bye, dealing with the injuries, having gone nonstop since July through 13 games, that's why I said I wasn't going to be surprised by it. I thought they were on the same playing field, on the same level as the Giants. But you just shouldn't be surprised if they actually have a bad game. But to be emphatically, overwhelmingly ready to play after that long, they deserve every accolade.
A lot of big hits, maybe more big hits in the game last night on defense and special teams than the rest of the season. Do you think that was maybe because they did kind of take their foot off the gas against Cincinnati? Was it just Monday Night Football? Do you think there was something behind it?
I don't know. I think, I was talking to Phil about this, Perry, and I said, I think sometimes you played high-level football at Hofstra.
Hobart.
Didn't you?
Hobart.
What?
Hobart, not that high
same.
Level.
Yeah.
Lower
I
level.
Marcus
right.
Colson would have dominated him.
Wayne Krabet.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, yeah.
I got the hoe correct.
Yeah, yes, yes. Starts
okay,
in the hoe.
So Hobart.
Juwan Jennings, shout out. Lane Kiffin,
sometimes
shout out.
Sometimes they just, you get an opportunity where, oh my God, I could demolish this guy. Mm-hmm. And I think that those occasions happened for Christian Ellis in particular. But Marte Mapu, it just emerged. But there are guys every single week that make business decisions. And when you make a hit like that, if you're Christian Ellis or Marte Mapu or, Christian Gonzalez was not going to get injured on his de-cleating. But it's going to hurt the next day. And they have a week off. No one's thinking about the week off. I would imagine that a large portion of them are dying to go on this break that starts today for them. But they're like, I really hope we don't lose our edge at all. I'm sure that there's some of them that would say, I don't want to stick around for the next few days, but I really don't want to lose our edge. Mm. So they showed that they maintained it. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make. Mm-hmm. They were ready to make every violent football play they could because they're into the football right now.
We've been measuring up the rest of the AFC. We spent a lot of time doing that yesterday and then again today with the tiers. The way I see it, and I know you felt differently last week, I'm curious if it's changed at all. They should split with Baltimore and Buffalo, take care of business against the Jets and the Dolphins. That's the easiest way to lock up the one seed. How realistic do you think that path is over the final four games for the Pats?
Very realistic. What do you mean I felt differently last week?
Well, you again thought maybe the Giants, it was a potential win. You said you wouldn't be surprised if it was three losses in a row. So we could get a split here in the next two. So I think that would be a different path necessarily than what was being laid out. Not that you predicted three straight
right.
losses,
yeah.
but you thought it was in play.
I didn't say I expected that to happen. I said I wouldn't be surprised. I don't expect them to lose all three, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did, given the nature of the NFL. So I think the path you laid out is the most reasonable one to envision. You know, down the stretch here, Buffalo has the Eagles at the end. They have the Bengals this week. The Broncos have a horrible schedule. They have the Packers, the Jaguars, the Chiefs, the Chargers. The Colts have an even more disgusting schedule for themselves. So I don't know who's going to overtake them for the number one seed, given the fact that they have two difficult games. I don't care what Baltimore's record is. They're a good program. Here's the Colts. Jaguars, Seahawks, Niners, Jaguars, Texans. They might not make the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, they might not. Oh, it's plus 240, Tom, if you're interested in that.
They might not win again.
Yeah, took a look at that one.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd be so mad.
They all Colts, Chargers, a lot of these teams have much more difficult schedules. And I think Baltimore, you know, depending on what week you looked at them, you looked at that as a really tough game for the Pats. But, like, Lamar Jackson just doesn't look right. Their defense is maybe better than it was early in the season, but it's still not great. So, yeah, I don't even look at that one as a really crazy game. But
And then there's the peskiness, just the peskiness sure. factor,
yep.
which is basically what I was alluding to. Are the Jets and Dolphins going to say, let's screw it, let's play hard? Something weird happens. Anyway, sorry, Keith.
No, all good. I was just going to say, we're now at the point, too, where it's fair to nitpick because they are 11-2. They're the one seed in the AFC. And so it was a pretty dominant performance last night, all three phases. However, some of the same stuff has crept back up where, you know, first drive, they march it all the way down to the 4-yard line, then have to settle for a field goal. And there was also a field goal miss in there and another short field goal. So it's just, there's something about that goal line, like deep red zone and, you know, third and fourth and short, just their ability to pick that up and not settle for field goals, you know, when you are playing a team like Buffalo or Denver later on.
They stink in the red zone.
Yeah.
They just plainly stink. And when you look at some of the touchdowns, red zone touchdowns they've scored, I mentioned it last week in talking red zone with the Stephon Diggs catch on fourth and one against, I believe it was Tampa. I might be wrong.
Yep, right before halftime, Tampa.
Okay. So you get that one. So that's, they make it, they score it. It counts as a touchdown in the red zone, but holy crap, how hard was it? And last night's red zone throw to
Booty.
To Kayshon Booty. Yeah. I mean, it's just a high, high, high degree of difficulty. It's not like they ever go, okay, we're inside the 20. It's going to be 7 points, or even inside the 10, it's going to be 7 points. They are, I believe it's 18th in the NFL in red zone touchdown scoring. And I think they're 25th. Defensively, it's, you don't even want to discuss it. So there are blips. There are things to look at and be concerned about. One thing that you can't, I think, really measure, though, is while they might not have the greatest defense personnel-wise, and maybe that's part of the reason that I can look at a number of power rankings, they use analytics right now, and they show the Patriots as 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th. Still, the thing that you aren't able to measure is their ability to swarm the ball defensively. It's really, it's to their credit, and it shows the energy that they play with, how hard they get to the ball. And you saw that last night, I think, they're not a great run defense. And the last three games prior had shown that. But when you look at how well they rally to the ball. That makes up for a lot, I think.
Time for this week's Drake Take from Tommy Curran, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. This may be a weird way to ask it, but I heard Curtis talking about this morning on Greg's show, the idea that, well, May's playing at a higher level now than Brady was early in his career. No one's saying Drake May is better than Tom Brady, but maybe better quicker, if that makes sense. At what point do you think Tom Brady was playing at the level that Drake May is now playing at, if that question makes sense?
Differently, but 04, maybe. Portions of 03, it was just a different. They weren't solely reliant on Brady. I mean, they had a running game. They had Antoine Smith. They had Corey Dillon. They had an absolute shutdown defense. So it was different. But I don't think that May is where Brady was mentally yet in 2003, for instance, or even 2000. You know, I think Brady was still figuring out in 2002 what he could get away with. And that's why he had the highest interceptions of his career. He was putting it in harm's way, trying to figure it out. But I would say 03, 04. I think May is kind of at that point. It's unscientific. It's probably not something for the aggregator guy to aggregate. May better than Brady in 04. So we'll have to answer that for a week. But I would say that would probably be fair. What do you guys think?
Well, watching Jackson Dart play, I think Drake May plays like Tom Brady. I think he's the smartest Tom Brady when you see Jackson Dart flying around. That's so true. Maybe there is some of that. But really, watching Dart play, and you knew going into the game, he's kind of a maniac. He's gotten hurt in a few of the games he's already played in. That was a bigger topic of conversation around Drake May, I feel like, the first few weeks of the season. Now that talk is kind of gone away. Like, don't you think he does a pretty good job of knowing when to slide versus go out of bounds versus dive forward? Like, I think he's got a pretty good grasp on that now.
I'll tell you, I mean, it's amazing. And like McDaniels, Ashton Grant, anybody involved, Alex Van Pelt, anybody involved in the development of Drake May since he got to the league deserves a tremendous amount of appreciation. I'm not going to say credit because you cannot take the credit from the player, I think. McDaniels does deserve credit, but the development is just, it's insane. At any position, I just don't understand. At any position, it would be remarkable, but it is at a position that complicated to go from a guy who was wild at times last year, who had to be stripped down in April and retaught how to drop back because he hadn't really done it. Take a 5-step drop, take a 7-step drop, throw with accuracy. You can look at our notes from mini camps last year and from training camp, May struggling accuracy wise. To go from that to now, it's bizarre.
One more quick one here, Tom. I don't know that we've ever asked you this. Maybe we have, and so maybe there's overlap here, but Marcus Jones now statistically the best punt returner in NFL history. We were talking about this earlier. Patriots have had some excellent punt returners recent vintage since you've been covering the team. Troy Brown, Edelman, Marcus Jones. You get one. Who would you take?
Oh, boy. I think I would say Brown.
Yeah. He has some clutch returns.
I think I would say Troy Brown.
Yeah.
I mean, Edelman was nasty, but I think I would say Troy Brown.
Fair.
He was so good. I got my first year of following football. I had Mike Haynes, though. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That was so good. Just running around the back X. My brother and I, it was only the two of us. We played a game called punt return, which means one kid goes to the other end of the
classic game.
Backyard.
Yeah.
Just you played punt return?
Just play smash punt return. Him. Yeah. Chuck it deep. Yeah, we wouldn't punt it, though. You'd just throw it, right? You'd huck it up in the air. Somebody would catch it.
No, we punt. We would
you'd punt.
Well, maybe we did that.
Punts were crazy. I think we tried punting. Punting's, you're going in the woods, and you're like, all right, let's just throw it. Just throw it to me, and then I'll make it miss.
Yeah, and I could make a lot of people miss, except for my brother, who I just had the inborn terror of him. So when he got close, I would turtle, and I'd take a knee in the ribs. Michael!
Yeah, that's a good way to break some ribs, for sure.
I have one more, actually, real quick.
I could do this all day. I got time.
With his first year now in the books, does Bill Belichick coach North Carolina again next year?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, what, did you watch that 4 minute and 18 second press conference?
Oh, I watched it. Oh, yeah, yeah, I watched it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Electric.
It was. It,
it's the same person that we were digesting really from 2021 through 2023. I mean, that's how surly he was, especially the last 2 years, every single day.
Yep.
And he was great. He was great in the COVID year. He was beyond fantastic with us, the media, in the COVID year. In 2021, things went his way, so he was, you know, he was surly again. When it's going his way, he's surly. When it's not going his way, he's surly.
Yeah. It's okay. Not going his way right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's not going his way. But okay, that's Tommy Curran. Every Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe, we call it a Tommy Tuesday. Check him out, NBC Sports Boston. You can also listen to him on Thursdays here on WEEI Afternoons. Give him a follow on Twitter at Tom E. Curran. Tom, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Tom. Right.
Tom E. Curran joining us here on Jones and Keefe. The punt return one's interesting because Troy Brown does feel like he probably was the best at not screwing up, right?
Like, oh, you knew he was gonna do the right thing. Like, when to fair catch it, when to not, when to let it go, to actually rip off a return.
Oh, and he could rip off a big one. I do think my pick would be Edelman, but Marcus Jones is right there. Maybe I'm sleeping on Troy Brown. Those are three great punt returners.
I might be recency biased, but I think I would go Marcus Jones just because there's, I think, a little bit more of the home run threat.
Yeah.
You know, Edelman.
And has he screwed one up?
I don't
remember one. That doesn't mean he hasn't.
I mean, Edelman was awesome because he was sure-handed and he got every yard that was there. I just feel like with Jones, it is like he's a water bug and he gets it and he's like, and he's gone in a second. So maybe the question is a little bit different. Like if you're, you know, down seven or something like that versus you're up seven,
yeah, I guess,
right? Like you just need to return it or even catch it.
I do agree with Curran on this. It's like Brown did it and Edelman in some big games.
No,
like
100%.
Marcus Jones hasn't done that yet.
True.
It doesn't mean he can't, but just I would feel like Troy Brown would make the right decision in a big spot. Edelman made the right decision in a big spot. I guess that's the next hurdle to clear for Marcus Jones. But if he does that, I mean, who's been a better punt returner than him?
Nobody.
I mean, no one historically.
Well, nobody's gotten more yards, and then it'll only be a matter of time if he keeps up this pace. Like, he's way off, you know, like Devin Hester touchdowns, but Hester had a whole career already,
correct,
right? I mean, Jones is still really young, so he's got an opportunity to continue to move up that list.
Was Welker a good punt returner here?
I think he was pretty good.
How many did he return?
He was really good, I think, before
he was good until
he told
Billy he didn't want to do it anymore.
Well, there was also that.
Is that what it was?
Wasn't he awesome?
Did they make him do it against the Jets in the playoff game? Is that what happened? They benched him and then they made him do it?
He got benched for offense, but he went out there and returned punts.
I don't remember him being as good as. I'm sure he's fine. I don't think he belongs in the same class as Troy Brown, Julian Edelman, Marcus Jones.
He never returned a punt for a touchdown. Not that means you're not good, but he had a bunch of yards and a bunch of attempts and stuff, especially in Miami. When he was in Miami, he did a good amount of it.
Okay, 617-779-7937. I don't think Curran's going to hear from the people on social media as much about the Brady 04 Drake May stuff as much as they might lose three in a row.
No, that was probably a busy week for him when that happens. He did say it.
It's not going to be three in a row.
No.
But, no, they should split these next two.
I would still take J.J. McCarthy.
We didn't bring that one up.
He should split these they should split these next two coming out of the bye week, Buffalo and Baltimore. That's what they should do. And if
I'm kind of greedy, honestly.
Take both?
They're kind of nasty.
Run the table.
The Pats are nasty. The Ravens, to me, are closer to the Jets and Dolphins than they are to the Bills.
Yeah.
So we keep pointing out, like, oh, they have two tough games. I think they have one. I think they have one tough game because, like, I can't disagree with Curran. There is the NFL, and there's upsets all the time. So you're not just like, oh, there's gimmies. But I'm just saying when you're looking at it, there's one playoff team that they're facing the rest of the way, and that's the Bills, who
they've already beaten in
Buffalo.
Don't
look that great.
Right. They've already beaten in Buffalo.
Yeah, it's a home game.
And they're going to be at home off a bye. They're going to be sitting there waiting for them off a bye.
Yeah, like, I don't think the Ravens or the Bills are looking at it like, well, we got the Patriots, that's a win. They're probably looking at it like, all right, can we win the other games around the Patriots game try to get in?
And Buffalo has Joe Burrow and the Bengals this week. Not an easy one.
No, they're frisky, some are saying.
That's what some are saying. 617-779-7937. The tiers are up at Jones and Keefe. You just heard from Tommy Curran. If you missed any of it, Audacy app, use the rewind feature, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. It's free. It's easy. You won't miss a minute of Jones and Keefe. We have a Key for Madness for you at 12:45, as we do every Tuesday. But we'll continue with the Patriots Monday on a Tuesday. Drake May looking like the MVP.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, the MVP's back on!
Oh, certainly is.
Although, if Keith had his way, it would only be one touchdown pass for Drake May last night.
I don't think Kyle Williams was in.
Actually, there was a still frame that I just saw a little while ago. He absolutely got that back foot in.
Yeah, but did he have control of the ball?
Did. Yep, he did. He tapped the back foot.
That's what I think.
I didn't see it, Nick.
I didn't really. This is like a blue dress, gold dress, Laurel.
Yanni.
Laurel Yanni? This is like one of those where
Yanni.
I'm actually shocked. You brought this up. I'm like, wait, do I need to watch a replay? I didn't even think twice about it.
Now, not to poke holes in my own argument.
I just popped the eggplant emojis on the video and went on with my life. But yeah.
This is a strike against me, which I shouldn't have to bring up.
Okay. It's not a loss, just a strike.
I notoriously don't have the best eyesight. It's poor.
A texter did bring that up earlier. Yeah, Keith, you need those glasses.
I don't think it was a score, but I'm glad that it was.
Okay, good.
A nice speed by Kyle Williams. Nice job getting off the jam, getting wide open down the field. Nice ball by Drake May. I liked all of it. I just thought his knee was out. I didn't think his first foot was in, and he had possession of the ball.
But those were two gorgeous throws.
Oh, yeah.
The one to Williams was just a perfect rainbow. Mm-hmm. The throw to Booty was another fade down there on the goal line. And so, two more touchdowns for him. We gave you the numbers earlier from FanDuel. He's minus 125 for the MVP. Matt Stafford is plus 125. And look, we look at this every week. Last week, I think it was fair that Stafford was the favorite for the MVP. He's playing out of his mind. Hadn't thrown a pick in forever. Million touchdown passes every week. The Rams kept winning. And then what happened?
What happened?
He threw a couple of picks. He had a fumble. They lost to the Panthers. The Patriots make a statement game. And I do think, despite it was the Giants,
it's modern football.
Not a good team. Statement game for the country, complete win, etc. I think it's fair that he is back on top of the heap when it comes to the MVP odds, but this is how the race works. You know, a horse noses in front, and then the other takes the lead, and we see how it goes down the stretch. Speaking of the strength of schedule,
yes,
the Giants were not a good team. We got this text
that
here.
Does not improve the strength.
No. 617-779-7937. You have, all capitals, to be concerned with the strength of schedule.
I don't have to be anything.
I know they can't control it, but it's been soft. Well, I agree. It has been a soft schedule. There's no arguing that. But I think the Patriots have some good wins on there.
Now, people might remember this.
Yeah.
A couple weeks back, we did the Jones and Keefe formula for the AFC standings. And the AFC standings were similar yet different.
Yeah.
And so what we did is we gave
They were actually quite similar.
About different.
But we sniffed out the Texans being
pretty good.
If the Jones and Keefe standings gave us nothing else, we sniffed out the Texans, I think, ahead of anyone.
So it basically gave you more points for a good win, less minus points for a good loss, and just, you know, whatever. There was a scientific formula to it. We only did the AFC.
It was a lot of math.
It made a lot of sense, but it was like, you know what? Their schedule, I know, statistically is really bad, meaning like if you just take the win percentage of their opponents, but when you really look into who has quality wins, what would even be a quality win? I think it netted out where like, no, they're fine. They're like most of the other teams in the AFC. I think a team like the Rams and the Eagles might have a little different discussion, but that's fine. Put them to the side. So Jeff Howe from The Athletic, he just put out he just went through the playoff seedings, right? 1 through 7 currently in the NFL after 13 weeks of the season, 1 through 7. And he said next to it, here are each team's record against current playoff teams.
Okay.
So this takes out the nuance, like you and I being like, is the Chiefs a good win?
Yeah,
is it not
smart.
A good win?
This is smart Ravens by Jeff Howe. This is just
playoff teams.
Very black and white. What's your record against playoff teams? All right, what do you find?
So funny that you would see this. The AFC, out of the 7 teams, nobody has more than 2 wins.
7!
Against other playoff teams.
So 2 wins is the most.
Now, no team besides the Jaguars have played 4 games against playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else has played 3 or 2. So a knock against the Patriots would be they have had the fewest games against fellow playoff teams. However, they're 2-0.
They aced it.
They've only played two current playoff teams,
and they won both.
Okay. Broncos are 1-2.
1-2.
That's right. The Jaguars are 2-2.
Okay, that's a lot of cracks at it, but equal amount of losses as wins.
Ravens and Chargers are both 1-2.
Ooh.
And the Colts and the Bills are both 2-1.
And the Bills' losses to
the Pats.
The Patriots.
Yep, the Pats.
Okay.
Now, what's funny is the Bears are 1-1. The Packers are 0-1. And you look at the NFC North, the Rams, 6-2.
Yeah, so
they played 8 games against playoff teams.
I mean, that really does help cement our feeling on them.
Their whole division is in the playoffs.
Yeah, the problem with the NFC North is that the Lions have completely. If the Lions woke up in a playoff spot tomorrow or like next week, that would change.
I think it's a good exercise, though. The Eagles, by the way, are 3-2. So only the Eagles and Rams have more wins among the playoff teams against fellow playoff teams. But the Patriots are right there. They have as many as anybody else in the AFC, and they haven't lost one. Which also says their 2 losses were bad losses, but whatever, that's not the point.
I'll tell you, it's interesting about the 49ers. I just said their schedule's right up there with the Pats. They're 2-3, and I think, you know,
Nick
just helped answer it. It is the division.
Yeah, Seahawks are
1-3, so maybe that's like, don't believe in Darnold.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a similar thing going on with Purdy, but that does make you feel better about the Rams. But there you go. The Patriots have had 2 chances against the playoff team this year. Only 2?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a lot, although some teams, the Green Bay Packers, have had fewer. Or there are some teams out there who've had one more opportunity, but the Broncos have only 1 win against a playoff team. So, no, that is a good way to do it. That's like a more streamlined, less nuanced, Keith.
Right.
We love to deal in the gray, not the black and white. We love nuance
on this show.
So it's like a less nuanced Jones and Keith playoff standings from Jeff Howe.
And they have, now, assuming Baltimore can hang on to that spot, they may not. You might even knock them out of that spot. But they do have 2 more opportunities this season, right? Because you know that Steelers game is no longer a playoff team, right? So there's like a little bit of like nuance to it, obviously, and things can change around. But,
but
as of right now, Baltimore and Buffalo are both in the playoffs.
And if the Steelers win that division or are winning that division after the week, right, that would change the Patriots' outlook. Good call. Text line, I hate the schedule conversation.
Okay.
I see a schedule filled with NFL teams. The end.
Is that Mike Vrabel texting again?
I think Vrabel had a similar comment.
I don't get why people are bothered by the schedule. You had an easy schedule, but... No, we're just explaining to you that it's
when you've played quality teams. Honestly, when we did our whole exercise weeks ago, the Jones and Keefe standings, the famous Jones and Keefe standings.
They're still up there somewhere.
We told you to just ignore when it comes to who they played and how they've won and all this. We gave you extra points for good wins and we subtracted for bad losses.
Right.
And the standings kind of checked out. So just pay attention to the standings. Don't worry about who you've played. That tends to be overrated, I think. I just don't know why people are so bothered. It's like, why do you hate the schedule? They've had an easy schedule. But when they played good teams, add Carolina to the list too. Carolina's 7-6. They just beat the Rams. And so the 3 best teams you played, you beat them all. And you played some good defenses on top of that. Like the Browns have a really good defense. You beat them. Good test for the Patriots. So I don't know why you let it bother. They have an easy schedule. True. They also are playing the best football in the league. True.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be hard to pick any other team right now to win the Super Bowl than them.
Yeah, I think the Rams.
Or at least pick anybody. Let me rephrase. Well, right, the Rams. Put anybody above them. I think it'd be hard to put anybody on a tier above them. We have them on a tier by themselves.
Well, like we said yesterday, there's still not a single team that you would say, give me that team versus the field. We even went down to like two or three or four teams that you might need before you say the field, because there are some teams. However, today, when we went through the tiers, because there are some teams that I think might have still been getting by simply on reputation. So we have a single tier right now that has the Eagles, Lions, Chiefs, Colts, Chargers, Ravens on it.
Mm-hmm.
So like you could talk yourself into any of those teams still having like a puncher's chance. And then maybe that sort of adds to the contenders.
Give me those teams again.
It is the Ravens, Colts, Chargers, Chiefs, Eagles, Lions.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're like, hey, the league is super wide open and there are 10 contenders, you would probably include all of them. But if you've watched it play out, you're like, how many games are the Chiefs going to have to lose until we say they're not? Or you see all the turmoil going on with the Eagles where you're like, they're not. Yeah, maybe it is 7. Maybe it's one more. Or the Lions. Like, watching them play, you're like, oh, that didn't look right. So I guess they have, like, puncher's chances because maybe either the quarterback or just, like, the overall talent on the roster. But they're not playing that well. And that's why it sort of shortens to, like, Pats, Rams, maybe Packers, Bucks, Seahawks. Like, those are the kind of teams that right now, which going into the year are a bit of a surprise. I don't think people were really predicting any of those teams to be the last team standing. And right now, and it's a good sample size. This isn't 4-8 games into the year. We're 3/4 of the way into the season. And, like, I don't know, these teams have been kind of telling us who they are for the last several weeks.
I'm looking at the FanDuel Super Bowl odds. So this is to win the Super Bowl.
To win the whole thing. Still the Rams?
The first four teams are all NFC teams.
Yeah.
Rams plus 460, Seahawks plus 850, Green Bay plus 900, Philly plus 900. So the first four teams are all NFC. The next six, Keith, are AFC. Pats and Bills at plus 1,100, Broncos plus 1,200, Colts, Ravens, and Chiefs are the next teams after that. Like, so they have the best odds, tied for the best odds with Buffalo, to get to a Super Bowl, to win the Super Bowl out of the AFC.
Would you, with a straight face, put real hard-earned money
on Seattle?
On Sam Darnold to win the Super Bowl?
No, and in fact, after looking at those,
that's
Jeff,
wild.
After looking at those Jeff Howe standings, I feel even more strongly about this.
Yeah, I would not put the Seahawks anywhere near there. Like, that is crazy. Because, like, you're like, Stafford and McVay, yeah, like, we've actually seen it done. You know, Jordan Love, maybe a little bit more of a stretch, but I'm like, I could maybe talk myself into the Packers, just like with their defense and everything. Like, maybe
they're just a really good roster, maybe, and Love is maybe just good enough to do
Super
it.
Super Bowl's not played in the Toyota-thon, unfortunately.
Good point.
There's probably a President's Day sale and then, getting, like, close to it.
Josh Allen, you're like, all right, eventually maybe it'll be Josh Allen. Sean Payton, who's been there and won it before, and that defense, like all these other teams you can, like, realistically see, like, all right, there's
Darnold.
No.
I mean, although we do have him as a potential Super Bowl opponent, though.
Yeah.
But that's just an opponent, not winning.
Now, maybe they're covering themselves a little bit because they're 9-3 like the Bears are and like the Rams are. And so by the time it shakes out, maybe they have the bye, so it's just one less game. But if they don't have the bye and they're opening up on the road,
it'd be just like last year with Darnold.
Be out right away.
Darnold won 14 games last year in Minnesota, went on the
road.
It's
a weird one.
It wasn't even a true road game, right? Didn't they play it in, like, Arizona? Were there wildfires going on in L.A.? L.A. never really has a real home field advantage anyways.
They don't.
But I think they played at, like, a neutral site, and they got smoked.
Yeah.
So, no, it's as simple as when it comes to a team like Seattle or New England, those are wild odds. I would take the Patriots 100 times out of 100 because of Drake May, who after the game was asked about some of Mike Vrabel's comments about where Drake May has grown the most. Here's what May had to say.
Drake, Coach Vrabel just said that you're realizing what you can be and the impact that you make on the offense. What is that to you?
Just trying to be the face, trying to be the conductor. He calls it the conductor of the offense. You're trying to be the face of the offense, trying to want the pressure. You want to, you know, the ball in my hands, and I've tried to, you know, show that all year and throughout my career. So that's what, you know, I kind of feel like, and I know they feed off of me and feed off my energy and feed off of what I say to those guys, and what I say, you'll mean something to them. So just when adversity hits, you know, I got to respond. And then from there, I just got to be, you know, the same guy, same guy every day. You know, don't try to change, and just be myself. That's what the guys, you know, like the most. So,
okay.
You like the conductor as a nickname?
I was just going to say, we're the nickname show.
Right.
I like it better than Drake May.
Yeah, I don't like Drake May.
Draco's pretty good. I do love how, and the Greg Hill Show has been asking a lot of questions about this. We talked to Gonzo about this a year ago, Bragg.
Yeah, we did.
About Draco the nickname.
One of the many great questions we asked.
I am not as up on my rap lyrics as one Christian Arcand.
Okay.
But Arcand texted almost immediately when Gonzo said his nickname's Draco. I'm like, oh, Draco, like Drake-O. He's like, nah, man, it's a gun.
Oh, like the Harry Potter character?
I'm not. Like, I am not up on all of my my Migos lyrics and everything else.
Okay,
but if you,
that's a good nickname though.
It's a tremendous nickname.
I know people are polarizing with the guns, but for a quarterback throwing the ball, he's got a good arm.
Grow up. It's a good nickname. But the conductor, better than Drake May.
I don't mind the conductor. It's not a bad nickname. Yeah, here comes the conductor.
Can we get like a Tom Hanks drop from Polar Express?
We could. Weird animation. I don't like it. Really strange.
Uncanny Valley, yeah.
Lucas loves it.
He loves Polar Express.
Loves the book and the film, yes.
It's a timeless classic book.
I think he's a book guy over the film. Yeah.
He constantly turns his nose to the film.
No, he likes the film.
Okay.
He's a book guy over the film.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But okay, so when it comes to the conductor, we can get some drops.
Here he comes.
There he is.
The conductor. I think it's not bad. And I don't think there's not like you're not stealing that from anybody else. Who else is that?
Yeah, I would imagine nobody. Keith Lockhart.
They're thinking Maestro. Should we call him
Maestro?
The Bradley Cooper movie?
Should we do top five conductors on Friday?
I don't know if
it's a bye week.
I don't know if I have five conductors.
Oh.
Do I?
Yeah.
I don't think I do.
Keith Lockhart.
Copper.
Maestro. Wait, what?
Sir, top of that.
Copper?
Yeah. They conduct electricity.
Oh.
Jeez.
Come on, Jones.
Scrap it. We're out. We're out on top five conductors.
Nick can take my spot.
Yeah, no. What else do you say, Bill?
Sir Topham Hatt, Thomas.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask.
We had Thomas the Train.
Is there a
popular
conductor
train
on Thomas?
Percy.
Wasn't Ringo a conductor on something?
You're thinking of the Beatles.
No, he was in the PBS version.
Yeah, he was like a conductor on something.
Well, one of the PBS versions of it.
Did Mr. Rogers?
Didn't George Collin do it for a bit too?
Yeah, I think so.
Was the Land of Make-Believe, was there a conductor? Because didn't they take a little train back there in his house? They like took off?
Yeah.
Remember Mr. Rogers?
Yeah, it was famously a conductor, I don't recall. But yeah, they definitely took a train. Yeah.
He'd pop the outdoor sweater off and the outdoor shoes, put the indoor sweater and the indoor shoes on. He's like, all right, it's time for make-believe. And then a train would go rolling through. It's like a house. They'd rip right in the middle of his wall.
Yeah.
Where the hell's that going?
I don't know.
You got Prince Friday back there spinning the hits. They must have had a maestro. Or not a maestro, a conductor.
Yeah,
I'm confusing the two.
They must have had a conductor. They had.
There's some overlap between their jobs, but also very different.
All right. I do like the conductor, though. Choo-choo! 617-779-7937. It is a Patriots Monday on a Tuesday. But it is also a Tuesday, 12:45, which means it's time for the madness. Kiefer Madness.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Madness next.
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it. And he grabbed me by my hair and was shaking my head.
like you would shake a bag of microwave popcorn.
I don't play with lions. I don't play with tigers, bears, nothing with the wild. I don't play with those. I promise you. I don't even do roller coasters. I'm good.
She came to this Mexican restaurant for a margarita, and instead she left with a side of snake.
Sometime between 11 and 12, it rained meat for a period of about 2 minutes.
All right, here we go. It's time for Kiefer Madness on Jones Keep WEEI. And quick update on the Drake May nickname situation. Of course, Shime's trying to push Drake May. Don't care for it.
Maybe the worst. Love Shime. Maybe the worst nickname going.
The Conductor. A lot of people now calling him the Conductor.
Which you shifted to the Maestro. Seinfeld reference.
Yeah. And Bradley Cooper's Academy Award nominated portrayal.
Haven't seen it.
Of a maestro.
Not even thinking about seeing it, but good to know.
He went like full into it. Like he could do it. He could maestro. He can do a full band if you need him to.
Well, that's a cool orchestra. That's a cool skill.
I don't know when he's ever going to use it again.
Break that out at parties.
I don't know if he's ever going to do that, but he was really good in the film. The Maestro.
The Maestro.
It's right there. Drake Maestro.
It was so right there.
Damn
we missed it.
It
was right under our noses.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Pretty
strong.
Conductor to the Maestro.
Yeah.
The Maestro. That's all right. It's still no Draco, but it's pretty good.
All right, a couple stories if we have time here, Jones.
Okay.
First one takes place in the state of Georgia.
Fresh fruit used to smuggle drugs into our country. Check out these pictures from the FBI's Atlanta office Friday. Agents with the Bureau and the GBI found 419...
Hold on, buddy. Your mic's on. Bro. You can't just cough in the middle of this news story about drugs in with the fruit. There's drugs mixed in with the fruit. She's trying to tell us about what fruit and what drugs they are.
Now, this
guy's just coughing.
This is TV, though. They don't have, like, a mute button. That's kind of... Close the mics, producers. But, I mean, earmuffs back there, Nick and Billy.
Producers.
Earmuffs back there. But, like, I think you close the mics.
Yeah, this guy just coughing.
No, you cough, it's on you.
That is
well, here we have a button. They don't have a button on TV. We're supposed to do. Pull the microphone up and throw it. What are you supposed to do?
You're at a coughing spell on the TV.
No, I don't think so.
I've been, like, close. And I've been, like...
There have been times where I'm like, just hold it in, just hold that in. For a lot of bodily functions. But yeah.
This time, right?
Yeah. But no, it's never actually happened that I can recall.
Got it.
No, yeah.
From the FBI's Atlanta office Friday, agents with the Bureau and the GBI found 419 kilos of methamphetamine hidden in a shipment of blackberries.
Ooh. Meth in the blackberries. I like blackberries. You like blackberries?
I love a blackberry.
If you were to tier sick berries, bag, how high up? Frisky?
Oh, no, higher than that.
Higher than Frisky?
Oh, yeah.
I think blueberry the goat.
The goat!
Goatberry.
You can get a bad blueberry. You get a mushy blueberry, I'm out.
You get a bad any of them, especially if they're covered in meth.
I heard Vrabel complimenting Greg's blueberries this morning. You hear that?
No, wait, I didn't hear that.
There's like some nice big blueberries there. Maybe that's why Greg eats all the blueberries and blackberries.
Smart.
Meth's delivered in them. Maybe that's why
people love strawberries.
Snacking on them.
I would say not my favorite.
A little overrated.
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. Raspberry I like.
Oh, I like a boysenberry.
I like a raspberry.
Don't sleep on a boysenberry. Yeah.
Okay, I won't sleep on
it. Just pick them off random bushes.
Cran?
Yeah.
Not really for me.
Oh, I like cran.
You like a cranberry?
Yeah.
Sitting there eating a cranberry?
Especially in a muffin. Yeah.
Yes.
They were inside a refrigerated truck parked outside of a home in southeast Atlanta. That is the same day in Hall County that sheriff's deputies and FBI agents found another refrigerated truck with another blackberry shipment stuffed with 300 kilos of meth.
All this is blackberries and meth. You think it's the perfect crime?
Yes.
Turns
like,
out it's not.
Sounds
so
like
Jones,
a good business.
They're onto these guys.
Well, eventually they come.
They're onto these guys.
Yeah.
Now let's go to Brazil.
Oh.
All-time story here.
Okay.
Pretty graphic.
Wait,
now,
we led with the blackberries, but this is an all-time story?
Yeah. Well, they're both all-time.
Okay.
I have a good conversation on blackberries.
Yeah, we're building up to the all-time. I
yeah,
got
no, this,
okay,
this was wild. Okay. Luckily, I was sitting down when I heard this story.
Watch this man dangling from a tree, a female lion.
All right, so we're at a zoo in Brazil. Let me set the stage
female
for you.
Lion.
We're at a zoo. Oh, yeah. Mama lion.
They're the hunters.
So they're showing this on the news. This is like a national news station. It's a zoo in Brazil, and you have a guy trying to obviously get in there and get up close with these lions. Like, mm-hmm. Let me hop the fence here. It's a really high fence.
So this is like live coverage in Brazil. They're live covering this?
I don't think it was live,
oh, okay.
But they had the full footage. They weren't blurring anything out. And they're like, let's take a look at this guy trying to get into a lion's cage.
Watch this man dangling from a tree. A female lion is just feet below. As the man slides down, the lioness begins to claw. And when the man is close enough, the animal pounces, dragging him to the ground. You can see the man emerge from the vegetation briefly.
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 He's just kind of clawing his way out, then so dragged right back in.
The lioness.
He's like Newman. Spoiler alert.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. Didn't get spit on. It wasn't a Dilophosaurus situation, but he was in there with the lioness, kind of emerged for a second, and they're showing this on the news. Dips away.
In less than a minute, the struggle appears to be over. Zeus says the man was killed.
Killed the guy. Killed the guy for hopping the fence.
Oh.
The lioness. So now I'm like, shouldn't have been going in there. But what are they going to do now to this poor lioness? Is she going to have to go to trial? Like, what are they going to do with the lioness? I feel like she was just defending herself.
Mm-hmm. A worker appears to spray a fire extinguisher to make the lioness move away.
I don't know if that's scientific or not, but
it sounds like it worked.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It did. She walked away. Okay. Yeah.
Today, the zoo known as Bica in eastern Brazil posting this video of the lioness, who's named Leona.
Nice. Leona, the lioness.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
That's a nice name.
Yeah.
Speaking Portuguese, this woman identified as the zoo's
That's not the lion.
No, that's the woman.
No.
She works
there. That would have been an all-time story.
The lion does not. Spoiler, does never speaks in this whole story. Doesn't say a word.
I've been waiting for it.
Hired her own defense attorney, did not actually have to.
This woman, identified as the zoo's biologist, says the lioness simply displayed natural behavior for her species. According to NBC News' translation, she adds, at no point did the idea of putting the animal down cross our minds.
How about that? I was thrilled to hear that. Usually you're like, oh, we got to punish these animals.
Yeah.
Poor Harambe. Boom. Shot and killed.
Harambe pumped a fist in the
Harambe
sky.
Harambe was looking down. Yeah. Big smile on Harambe.
Yeah.
Say, they shouldn't go in our cages. You already have us in these cages, which is insane.
Right.
And now if somebody hops the fence there and then you defend yourself and now that you get put down?
Mm-hmm.
No. So they're keeping this nice. Lioness.
They should have like an animal stand your ground. They should have like something like
maybe
that.
Maybe they do, at least in Brazil.
Yeah,
they do.
That's right. I don't know the laws inside and out in Brazil. No,
this video shows the man scaling the enclosure's fence line. On Instagram, the zoo writing in Portuguese that Sunday morning, a man deliberately entered the lioness's enclosure, resulting in his death. The statement adding, we express our solidarity and condolences to the family and friends of the man who has not yet been identified.
Oh.
Well, all our best people are on it.
It doesn't sound the most sincere, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
That's a tough apology there, but good for the zoo.
But yeah, good for the zoo.
Yeah, good for them. Now, I hate to, at a moment like this, Keith.
Sure.
Suggest inside job.
Maybe.
But there's some real notoriety for the zoo all of a sudden.
There, we are talking about the zoo quite a bit.
Really paying the ultimate price to get some promotion, but I wouldn't rule it out.
The guy really wanted to hammer the point that it was all in Portuguese.
I'll go full Tommy Curran. That's not a prediction.
No.
I was not ruling out that it was
an
inside job.
You wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me. Yes.
I get it. But so anyway, I was surprised because you see these stories, they're horrible, and then you're like, oh my God, they're gonna blame the lioness. They did not.
Mm-hmm.
Now the lioness can live out the rest of her great life in a cage.
No, Harambe walked so she could run.
Maybe.
I think it's exactly how that goes. Yeah.
She could run from one wall to the other.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, not very far.
They can just,
she's not going to run very far.
They can just throw meat slabs at her. She never has to hunt. She doesn't have to do anything. Just miserable inside of a cage.
Okay.
Joe Exotic not walking through that door.
That is the madness every Tuesday, a lot of Thursdays, here on Jones and Keefe. 617-779-7937. Now, this happens, Keefe. Oh, yeah, good.
Carol Baskin. Killed her husband, whacked him. Can't convince me that it didn't happen. Fed him to tigers, they snacking. What's happening? Carol Baskin.
This is crip walking back there.
It's a PSA, really.
It's a good positive development, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can dial us up. This tends to happen, by the way, every time we bring up a nickname. People want to weigh in with their own.
Yeah.
We might have perfected it. The text line might have perfected it with
Maestro. Drake
Maestro. I don't think you're going to top it.
No. Good luck.
You continue to try. We'll get back to your phone calls. And a complete win for the Patriots. They look like the best team in the NFL. What are their weaknesses? We can get to that with your phone calls next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.